Great. Thank you. We're all yours.
Okay. Morning, everybody. So we're going to be looking this morning at a great question from Josiah on why do people disobey God? And we're going to do that in 10 minutes. So simple, such a simple question to answer. And I guess this is something which we could go on to all sorts of different avenues, exploring all sorts of areas. And I guess we could start by asking whether the children in church obey their parents and explore whether that might tell us something. But I'm sure as I look at the screen that there's no children here who would ever disobey their parents. So perhaps that's not a good place to start either. So I was thinking that it would be good to try and unpick that question and probably try and break it down a little bit and perhaps split it in two. Because you could have asked the question, why does God make it possible for us to disobey him as a starting point? And so I think that's kind of a part one to the question in some respects. And a part two is, well, why then, given the choice that we have, do we choose to disobey God? And before we think about those questions, I think it's worth just kind of recognizing the fact that everybody has disobeyed God. It's not just like this applies to a few people. It's everybody has disobeyed God. In the book of Romans, Paul makes that statement, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So kids, look around the Zoom screen. It's like a scene from Crime Watch with the gang of shame, the wall of shame. Everybody here are guilty faces. Everybody here has disobeyed God. Luckily, we're not putting our crimes on a list next to us, but everybody here, as we look at this screen, has disobeyed God. So none of us get to take the moral high ground. Good news, we're all in that camp, or we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We might look around at some others and think, well, they've fallen slightly more than I have, but we've all fallen short at some level. Each of us has chosen to do what we wanted to do and not what God wanted us to do. And you know, I think it's, again, worth us thinking about the amazing truth that the Lord has planned a way back for us to be in relationship with him, knowing that we were going to need forgiveness. There were a couple of quotes from Isaiah earlier, so let me add a third one into the mix from Isaiah 53, where Isaiah says this: we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Isaiah was saying each of us has turned and done our own way. We've all disobeyed God. We've all done what we wanted to do. But at the same time, the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. In other words, God planned that he was going to pay the price for all the consequences of us choosing to do wrong, to disobey him, laying it on himself, on the person of Jesus, the punishment that was owing as a result of us choosing to disobey him. So that God has built into his plans and his purposes the ability to come back into right relationship with him. And so as we think about disobedience and why we disobey God, it's so important that we understand that within the mysteries of the way that God operates, he has planned and purposed a way back into relationship with himself. So God's plan has always been to rescue us. Jesus was always going to be the heavenly missionary, as some people kind of think of it, to bring us back into a right relationship with God. And in fact, even if you were to go back right to the beginning of the Bible, go back to the story of Adam and Eve, the first acts of human disobedience, you see God already in the midst of that situation starting to speak prophetically about he's going to crush the power of the enemy, the hold of the enemy over us. So God's plan has always been to rescue us. That's been his number one goal. And the consequences of that, if you just were to think about it, are staggering. If you were to read your Bibles, particularly your Old Testaments, through the lens of God is on a rescue mission for humanity, it's mind-blowing, and it changes our view of history, actually. We could go down all sorts of theological rabbit warrens around what it means. I could kind of throw out through provocative statements for the adults around, has the Lord actually allowed us to ascribe wrong things to him, because for him, that's not important. It's for him, number one importance is all about the rescue mission of humanity. So as I read some things ascribed to him, even in the Bible and the Old Testament, I'm thinking that's not consistent with my view of God. But anyway, that's my theological curveball, which I'll leave with the adults for another day. So coming back to these two questions, why did God make it possible that people could choose to disobey him, which was going to need this drastic rescue plan that we've just been talking about? And the short answer is that it's a direct consequence of God's love for us, that he allows that free choice to choose whether to follow his plan or whether to make our own choice to do something else. It's a direct consequence of God's decision to love us. You see, when you love someone, you don't force them to do what you want them to do. You might want to. All of us parents can sympathize with that at moments in times. But there are things we really want you to do. We try and force you to do it. And we soon realize that you can't. I can think becoming a parent was the most stressful thing. I didn't realize how intolerant I was, because I'd want my kids to do something and they wouldn't do it. And you try and kind of force them to do it and you can't. And you have to realize that as a parent, as a loving parent, you don't want to kind of force them. You want to lead them in a path to make right decisions themselves. So we can all sympathize with that. And it's the same with God. He doesn't force us to do what he wants to do, but works with us to guide us, pointing out the way to go, but giving us the freedom to choose whether we do that or not. Again, there's a huge consequence around this. And it means that God has actually chosen to limit his power by not intervening to force us to do what's right. So that's one of the reasons why bad things are allowed to happen. I think Lawrence spoke about this a little while ago, about how God has chosen to limit his power. Because God won't force us to carry out actions that can be bad or harmful. As one theologian that some of you know I like quite a lot put it, God doesn't lobotomize us to do the right thing. He's not going to kind of open up our brains and rewire us to do what he wants to do. We're not robots. We are given free choice, and therefore we have to live in the consequence of that free choice. So that's the first question. So we know that we can make bad choices, that God has created us, but he's either loving God with the ability to choose to do the wrong things. But why do we? It's pretty stupid, isn't it? If we've got this loving God who intends good for us, that is wanting to guide us in the right way of doing things, why don't we just follow him? Why do we choose to do the wrong things? And I guess that's one of the most damaging characteristics of our fallen humanity, is that we think we know best. We've been talking even this morning about a great example of that as we've looked at the events in America over the last week. We've got thousands, perhaps millions of people who think they know best. And Donald Trump, which is not a political comment, but he's looking out and he's protesting the results of an election and saying, I know best, irrespective of what the different court cases have said, irrespective of what independent people who have monitored the vote have said, he thinks he knows best. And on the basis of what he thinks he knows, he is telling us what is right and what is wrong. And lots of people are believing him. So we all have that tendency within us to want to self-validate what we think is right as being right. And there's a big part of us which leans into that. See, we all inherently like to think that we're right and that we're in control of what we should do. And if you think about it, there's some sense in that. We'd be pretty depressed if each of us went around thinking that we were wrong at everything we were doing all the time and existed in a world that was completely out of our control. And that's where our relationship with God becomes so important. Understanding what it means to be living in a relationship with God is so important. You see, God isn't about wanting to limit our choice and tell us that there's loads of things that we can't do. Sometimes I think God gets a bad rap because people think that's what the Bible's all about. It's a list of you cannot do the following. That's never what God's intention has been towards us. I always think if you go back to Adam and Eve, back in that Garden of Eden, we always fixate on God said you can't eat of the fruit of that tree. Well, what about the thousands, the millions of other trees that were perfectly acceptable? It was only one tree. He said, don't go and eat at that tree. But we fixate on the one thing God says is bad for us, rather than all of the things that God has created that are good for us. So God's not really wanting to limit our choice. He's wanting to help guide us in the things which are good for us. God is a good God. He knows what is good for us, and he seeks to guide us. And because we know he loves us, because we know he's there for us, even when things go wrong, he's that heavenly missionary, always already made a way back when things do go wrong, we can learn to trust in him. And as we do that, we recognize that actually we can feel far more secure knowing that we're following a God who does know what is right and who is in control. And recognizing that isn't actually limiting to us, but it's freeing to us. And I think that's one of the amazing things that happen when we grow in our relationship with God. God isn't there to limit us. He's there to free us and to change our understanding of him. So that was a very quick canter. I hope it was some help, Josiah. But just to summarize, God loves us. And the consequence of that love is we're free to make our own bad decisions. And unfortunately, people want to make their own choice and think that is freedom, rather than experiencing the freedom that comes from following Jesus. Amen.
Great. Thank you, Darren. Fabulous. That was great.